Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. In today's show, we're going to be talking about making speech therapy more affordable and accessible. Our guest to talk about this is Lenora Edwards, and she is an ASHA board certified speech language pathologist working with Better Speech. She works with individuals of all ages, including toddlers and children who are learning to understand and express themselves. Thank you so much for listening. Hi, Lenora. How are you?
I'm great, Amanda. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here and spend time with you.
Absolutely. So before we get into the episode topic, will you tell us a little bit about you?
Absolutely. So my name is Lenora Edwards, and I am a speech language pathologist with Better Speech. And I get the wonderful pleasure of helping people communicate better. And I get to work with people of all different ages.
Wonderful. And where are you located in the world?
In the world, I am actually located in Pennsylvania, but I get to be licensed in pretty much as many states as I'd like to be. Right now, I'm licensed in 5 states.
Thank you so much. And okay, so let's get into the topic of speech pathology. I like to start a lot of topics with like a very high level in case someone is just not familiar with that terminology whatsoever. So could you give us a little bit of a definition of what speech pathology is exactly and how it can help folks?
That is a great question. So a speech language pathologist is somebody who helps people communicate. And what we do is we work with a variety of people. So we work with little ones. We also have worked in the NICU with feeding teams, so really little ones. And even though our title says speech language pathologist, we work with people who have difficulty swallowing. We work with people who have difficulty with their memory or with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, neurological components. I like to usually say casually, I say we work in the neck and up because that's usually where we are helping people. Now, if it's dependent on a swallowing difficulty or communication or memory, it just simply depends on that person.
Yeah, thank you so much for that definition and background. That is something that surprised me. I had a feeding specialist on, and she was a speech pathologist, and I did not make the connection until I interviewed her. I was like, that makes complete sense. It's that part of the brain. It is that part of the body, the anatomy. Like it starts very, very early. And, you know, speech, being able to speak, I mean, that starts so early as well. So thanks for just, you know, again, level setting, giving the background. All right. So let's get into the topic a little bit more. So we're going to be talking about making speech therapy more accessible, more affordable to families. So can you talk about the why behind the need for it and then exactly what you all are doing?
So with Better Speech, we do provide that effective and affordable speech therapy service. And that is so important because especially with things becoming more expensive every day and accessibility, that can be really, really challenging for some people who are a half hour away or 45 minutes away from an outpatient clinic, whereas we have been online long since before the pandemic. So we're very, very familiar and comfortable using online platforms. And a lot of people will ask me, really, speech therapy online? And it is so incredibly functional. It is just absolutely fantastic how we are able to reach so many people. Our company has been around for a number of years and we have 4.5 stars and higher, which is a great, great review. And we get to work with people in all different parts of the area because we're nationwide and we're also international. So say, for example, somebody in the state of Georgia needs speech therapy services, but they don't have the time or the accessibility, literally a car, to get to the clinic for outpatient speech therapy services. That's where we come in because we're so beneficial. You just pull us up on the computer and you can work with us. And a lot of the time you have to wait two months or 6 months to get even an appointment for an evaluation. Whereas here you're connected with a speech pathologist in your state immediately, and you can work with them even the next day. And that is incredibly powerful, especially because when you're worried about your little one or you're worried about, and you have all these questions and you want answers now, not in 2 months, not in 6 months. So I love that we are able to reach so many people because we are so accessible.
I love that too. And I'm also curious, I have a little bit of insight into how programs within each individual state can be helpful resources to families in doing the evaluations and figuring out, you know, are there any type of milestones that, you know, your child is a little bit behind on or could use some support in? And so there are often state programs, like in Georgia, there's Babies Can't Wait. My mother-in-law works for them. And so that's how I have this familiarity. Yeah. So I'm curious if, and I know that a lot of times they will kind of refer out to speech pathologists or to, you know, those resources that can help those families. I'm curious if you all are involved in this or have any insight into that.
That's a great question. And I love that Babies Can't Wait, because time is of the essence. And especially so when we're talking about little ones, we don't have the luxury of waiting 6 months to, oh, well, we have to wait 6 months for the evaluation and your little one is missing 6 months of development of speech language pathology. Their brain isn't going to pause just because a clinic says you have to wait 6 months. So time really is of the essence. These babies can't wait, whether they're babies, toddlers, children, teenagers, whatever the case may be, it needs to be now. And that is the phenomenal thing that the technology that we have today, that is the phenomenal thing that the technology that we have today has given us, because we are easily accessible. So in a lot of states, there's early intervention. So you can reach out in your community to other resources, which is great. And it depends on what community you're in, what state you're in. A lot of the time, early intervention is available. But again, it depends on, hopefully they're staffed, and that they can come out to you and provide the services that you need. Another thing about that is once your child gets into the school system and the school speech therapist is or speech language pathologist is able to work with them, which is great. The difficult part is, as I've also worked in schools, I don't get to communicate with the parents as much. Whereas here online, they're a part of our speech therapy session. They're listening to what we're doing and they can ask questions. Why are you queuing that way? How else can I help my child? Because it's really about finding those people, finding that team, building that village to help your child develop at whatever age they are, to help people develop and continue to grow and maintain their skills. If it's somebody who has difficulty swallowing and they have Parkinson's, they want to maintain that skill. They want to keep that skill. So the fact that we are accessible and that easily accessible is a great thing.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. And I think it's also wonderful that you provide this option, because it's great that parents can get these access to, you know, early intervention options, or if their child is in the school system that offers this kind of support. I think that is a great resource, and that can Absolutely. Be part of some family's village. But like mm-hmm. you said, it's wonderful that there's this to kind of fill the gap. Depending on the area or the staffing or the availability or, you know, just all of these other components. So I think it's just wonderful that this is an option. Now, I'm also curious, thinking in the mind of a parent who, you know, most people that, I mean, all of my topics are about birth, postpartum, parent mental health. So
you know, in the early, early years of parenting. And so with the fact that most people listening are in that stage of babies to toddlerhood, what are the things that parents of babies and toddlers can be mindful of about feeding problems or introducing solids and some issues with, you know, like tongue thrust reflex and, you know, kind of all of that stuff that can come up, or even speech delays. What are the things that parents can be looking for? And what would be like an idea where it's like, you know what, I think that we should maybe talk to somebody or at least have a consultation, because I think that my child might benefit from some support.
Absolutely. Those are phenomenal questions. When it comes to feeding very specifically, what you're looking for is a very consistent pattern. Your child should be able to eat comfortably, and there should be a little bit of work going on for them. It shouldn't be dumping into the back of their throat, in which case you'll hear a very rapid gulp, or you'll see them struggling and something, your instincts, especially mothers, their instincts are going off, going, something isn't quite right. And they're absolutely right. When they're refluxing, there is normal amounts of reflux, but in continuous amounts, what can actually happen is when reflux is occurring, they're in very uncomfortable. We know it as adults, it's very uncomfortable. And if they start to understand, okay, I've been refluxing a lot, I have reflux after I eat, and they don't understand this, but something's burning after I eat, I should stop eating. And they will become aversive to eating, and they will start to really resist that bottle because it's a protective mechanism. We are designed this way, which is a great thing as humans. But those are definitely red flags. If it's a struggle to feed your child, if they're not gaining weight, red flags. Absolutely reach out to your primary care provider, reach out to the resources that you have available to you, and keep reaching out, because something else is going on. And instinctively, you'll understand and you'll know, I need to do what I can to protect my child and keep them safe. When it comes to introducing solids, things that you want to be aware of, there's a full coordination that's going on in your body. So your child should be able to hold themselves up and have that trunk support, especially when they're eating. Their feet should be supported so that they're stable. If you try and eat at a bar stool, you know, for us, it's really tiring. Our legs are swinging in the breeze and your back is aching and red, a little bit of irritation. That's the same exact component. So to stabilize their feet so eating is comfortable and they're in a supportive, in a supported space. And when you're starting to introduce solids, they're learning this coordination of how to control the bolus. If their food is falling out, if they're leaving a lot of food in their cheeks, those are red flags that something else is going on and they're not appropriate for chewables. So again, reach out to your providers, reach out to us at betterspeech.com. We'll be able to work with you immediately and start to shape that information. Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of YouTube. Look at YouTube for those pieces of information to help support you. When it comes to speech development, so I love this one. Talk to your child all the time. They're listening. And as even if you're thinking, my 3-month-old has no idea, why am I going to talk to them? Tell them what you're doing. Tell them where you're going. Hold them. Talk to them constantly. What you're seeing, especially when they lock on to something visually, what they're looking at. Tell them the color, the texture, where it is, you know, how it's used. And what you're doing is you're pouring language into this little mind. And obviously, they're not going to know the color blue at 6 months or 8 months. But what's happening is you're pouring in information and it's learning and being sorted appropriately as the system needs to, as their body and mind need to sort this information. That's what you're ultimately doing. You're narrating their entire life and you're helping them understand, this is our language. This is how we talk. When I'm happy, I use my high voice. Or when I'm sad, I use a different voice. Or, you know, that intonation, they're understanding these language patterns. We are designed to understand our environment and we construct our environment based off of the things we hear, the things we see, the things we smell, the things we taste. That is how we make sense of this world. So keep talking to your child all the time.
I love that. That's so true. And I remember learning that in the early days with my daughter, and I was like, exactly what you said of like, wait, what? She can't like totally understand like what I'm just, and I felt like I was just talking to myself. And I was. And honestly, even when I was on maternity leave, like I think I kind of enjoyed that. I think I was just kind of like, I'm so, you know, not used to being by myself. This was before the pandemic, all the time, you know, just by myself and not have a lot of adult interaction. And so it would be really quiet. But then I just started taking the advice someone gave me of narrate everything you're doing, what you're doing with the diaper change, where you're going to go. We're going to go downstairs now. You know, if you were looking at your phone for a little too long and scrolling, maybe during a nursing session or something, and like, that's what I would do. And I'd be like, oh, I realize I'm doing this. I would say it. I'd be like, okay, mommy's been on her phone for a while now. I'm going to turn it off and we're going to put it away. Like, I just would narrate mm-hmm. everything. I think that now that's probably the reason why I talk to myself even more than I have to, because I think that, like,
that's just habitual.
Like the neurons firing. But yeah, that's what it looked like for me as a mom. And then I continued to do it. And like, and this is something I continued to do through toddlerhood. And this was the recommendation that I've heard from multiple speech pathologists and multiple people that really hone in on a toddler that's having a speech delay, that like, that is what they do every single day. And the number one thing was to continue to talk to your child, continue to read to them. So
if you have a toddler, especially if there's another language in the household, what we also recommend to do is talk in both of them. They'll sort it out. It's okay. It'll come out. And they might be coming out with, as they start to talk, they're going to be going back and forth. And their mind has the ability to sort it out. When you're narrating for them, so I only speak English, but when you're narrating, so let's just say you're narrating in any language, tell them what you're doing. We're going to go up as you pick them up, so that they understand this is the concept of up. We're going to open as we open the door. Opening the door, you're telling them what you're doing. And then when they go to do these other things as they're growing up, so if you say, oh, pass me the train, and they'll know whether, show me it's on your head. And they're learning as you're telling, like, I'm putting the shirt over your head. I'm going to put this on your head. What you're teaching them is prepositions. You're teaching them spatial awareness. You're teaching them these concepts that are going to be so important, so that they, when they go to play with the train and you say, oh, go put it on top of the table, and they're going to go and put it on top of the table, because now they understand that concept of table, train, on the top, on the bottom, on the side, in the front, and understanding that awareness. So yes, it does look a lot like you're talking to yourself, but what you're aside from that talking to yourself crazy person component, you're not at all. We're right. Already talking to ourselves in our head all the Absolutely. Time. So now you're just putting it out there.
Yeah.
But as you're doing that, they're understanding the intonation also. They're understanding, and you're connecting with your child. And that is an amazing thing. Absolutely beautiful thing.
I love that. Okay. So I have a question that popped in my head, given the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with new screen time guidelines, especially now that we've been in this pandemic for many years. And so I know that that's top of mind for a lot of parents. And with that, with the new guidelines, it's basically like until they are a certain age, and I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I will link to them in the show notes. So just to fact check myself for anybody that's listening. But it's, you know, up to a certain age, up to 2 years old, no screen time unless it is to like a FaceTime to connect with family members, because that's something that the Academy, American Academy of Pediatrics has recognized that we got to do the next best thing. Like during this pandemic, like that's the next best thing. So sure, in an optimal environment, babies wouldn't be exposed to screens, you know, before that threshold of 2 years old or whatever it actually is. But we got to do the next best thing. So my question is related to that. What do you say? What are the thoughts about screen time? Is that something that's come up with better speech and something that you're challenged with or you're aware of?
That's not too challenging because I think people just had to come to the conclusion of this is how we have to live. None of us had chosen this and we probably would have all chosen something else other than the pandemic, but you're absolutely right. This is the next best thing. And especially when they're that little, a lot of the time, if I was there in person, my speech therapy looks a lot like play and asking them to do certain things, making sure that they're able to, you know, are they responding in a certain time frame? And are they able to follow the direction? Are they mimicking and babbling after me? Are they basically modeling me and the things that I'm saying? So since I'm not there, I'm still looking for the same thing, but parent is there, guardian is there, caregiver is there. And that's what we're doing. We're teaching them, especially when you have early intervention involved. It's a lot of teaching the parent on what we're looking for, what the goal is, and how to help them achieve that goal. Because it's great to have work with a speech pathologist and we have so much knowledge and we want to share it with you, and we can sound like a train coming at you because we're like, here's all this information, and your brain gets quickly overwhelmed when we're coming at you with all this information. But the great thing is that we're a great resource, and the 30 minutes or the hour that you spend with your speech pathologist, you're there the rest of the time. We're not. So we get this microcosm of time. And I usually at their, when this little person is at their best, so it's likely right after nap time and they just had a snack and so they are pretty content. You're getting these other varieties of when they're hungry or when they're overtired or when they're uncomfortable. So how you can continue to communicate, how you can continue to support them in those moments is what we're also teaching. What else to do? Because I might not see the tantrum, but you might see the tantrum. Or I might see the tantrum, but you saw something the other day and you can tell me. Because we're ultimately there helping this little person grow and develop. And it's really about them. We're not saying the parent is doing anything wrong. We're saying here, this is where the goal is. And we want to support you. And how else can we help and be a part of your village? How else can we help and be a part of your network?
Yeah. I love that. To me, that's just like the next best thing is what I constantly think of as a parent. And I would get frustrated sometimes of like, well, I'm getting like conflicting information. The AAP says no screen time, but then I'm supposed to do, you know, this online, whatever it is, you know? And so sometimes it feels like conflicting information, but then what's helped me as a parent is just to think like, what is the cost benefit analysis? And for me, if I was in that place, it's like hands down, yes, this is the next best thing. Even if, you know, your child is under that, that absolutely. Age.
I think the other phrase is, what is the lesser of two evils?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I like the next best thing. Definitely more optimistic of the choices.
Well, and it's also the name of a song in Frozen 2. So, which I actually am a big fan of that song and movie. But my kids, yeah, that's an easy one just to be like, oh, it's the next best thing. Just like Princess Anna sings. So I also wanted to ask you, we've talked about a lot of different topics today and touched on many things, but is there anything that we haven't addressed that you think is important for listeners to hear?
When it comes to better speech, that's a great question. Important for listeners to hear. And when it comes to better speech, we are a service that is available the next day. And we offer a free 15-minute consultation, which is phenomenal because when you have questions, you want answers and you'd like to talk to somebody and you don't want to wait for a callback. So absolutely reach out to us and we're not going to make you wait 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 months to get the answer. So you can actually reach out to us and we'll speak with you and guide you the best we can. And if you feel like services are the right fit for you, by all means, we will set you up and get you rolling. And the sessions, what I love about it is that our weekly sessions, if you wanted to go on a weekly basis and say, all right, let me just get an idea and touch base with somebody. That's only $80 per session and you can make them however you want. Now, if we recommend services and we say, okay, for example, I have a client in Florida and I meet with them weekly and it's only $260 a month. And that's incredibly affordable, especially because you're not getting in the car. You're not going to get gas. You're not stopping for a snack on the way. You're not going to the clinic to pay a deductible and get back in the car. And, you know, you save 2 hours of your day, and 2 hours of your day is ultimately saving you time and money, which is a great thing. And another thing that I absolutely love is that we offer our clients the ability to practice apart from us. So as a clinician, I can assign you assignments because all of our clients have access to our practice library, and you don't have to come up with other games and ways to practice apart from speech. We literally are saying, here, enjoy, have as much fun in these games and in our practice library as you would like. And I love that too, because if I'm physically there, I can physically leave you, you know, some pieces of paper or some games or something, but I'm not physically there. But I can still be a part of your life, and we can still make this work. And we've found amazing ways to make it work. And what's even better is right now, I know some clinics where I am are still wearing a mask. So when you're trying to teach a little one how to make the p sound, or watch your mouth, and your mouth is covered and their mouth is covered, it's very challenging, and they get frustrated quickly, and understandably why. So the fact that we can actually come right up to the camera, or we have our parents and our guardians supporting us saying, okay, well, you do this, and show them if they need to touch your mouth or if they need to see something else and they want that tactile input. It's so connected and so present. And I absolutely love those. And there's no commitment. There's no risk. It's easy. Just reach out to us at betterspeech.com and we will work with you immediately.
I love that. And there you go. With, if you want to get in touch, if you are like, yes, I want this 15-minute consultation, that's exactly where you need to go. Is there anywhere else that folks can follow you or Better Speech online to stay connected?
Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and I believe we're starting TikTok shortly. So I'm super excited about that. Lots of different stuff. And we leave as much information as we possibly can, because people want to know and they want these resources. So come follow us, come ask questions, reach out to us, leave comments, and we will do our best to answer them. If you're leaving the comments on YouTube, we'll do our best to make any video that you would like. And if you have more questions, so stay in touch.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and this resource. And thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Amanda. It was great spending time with you.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and would like to hear more, please follow Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to use the code FYVPODCAST to sign up for the postpartum class at pregnancytopreschool.net to save 15% today. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.